All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to give a special shout out to our sponsors of the show, which is Prize Picks. We're going to talk more about that later. But we also have a new sponsor that's taking care of the collective as well that we're proud of because it fits right with what we do, especially with the schedule release happening tomorrow night. So we're urging everybody, make sure you utilize the services of SeatGeek as you start to build your schedule for the year. What games are you going to? If you're going to games, concerts, events, make sure you go check out SeatGeek. Use code COLLECTIVE10, all right, for 10% off tickets on SeatGeek. Oh, wait, Doug's coming in.
Shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. I love using SeatGeek. I use it constantly. The app is fantastic. 35 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticket app. More than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, more. You got the MLB happening right now, NBA, NHL playoffs. I am actually on June 11th going to see a Mets game, bringing my daughter for the first time to a Mets game. Yes, I know, I'm going to torture her, but I got my tickets through SeatGeek. Super fun, super easy to use, and this week, the NFL schedule is being released, so you can go ahead and grab your Dolphin tickets early, super, super, super early. Tickets are fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account after the purchase. I literally bought the Mets tickets, and less than 24 hours later, boom, they were in my account. So be sure to use the promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. Again, 10% off any tickets, festivals, concerts, games, using that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Again, thank you, SeatGeek, for sponsoring the Dolphin Collective.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much, Doug. We'll see you on Friday. And again, supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. But let's dive right in. Alan Pupar, Omar Kelly, literally, these gentlemen are on the ground in the trenches at camp, mini camps, whatever you want to call it, with the coaches this week. We got a chance to pick the coaches' brain and feel where they're coming from and how they're viewing things. I think it'll be good to start out with Alan here and talk to us. What were your impressions of talking to these coaches, getting a little insight from them? Anything stand out to you?
Well, there was a little bit of a very interesting revelation that actually came before we went downstairs to talk to the coaches right outside the training field and the entrance of the Baptist Health Training Complex media entrance. And that was the fact that Austin Clark now is not only coaching the interior defensive lineman, he is coaching the edge defenders slash defensive ends, whatever you want to call them, which is a change from previous years. The last time the Dolphins did not have an outside linebackers coach was 2019. If we remember, Dolphins lost their outside linebackers coach last year due to unfortunate circumstances, was never replaced in a title basis. But that was interesting to me. I asked Clark, since he's now working with the defensive end slash edge defenders, about Chop Robinson. And Omar, you'll be proud of me. I asked him about what gives him confidence that Chop can handle run defense and set the edge. And shockingly enough, the answer was positive, optimistic.
What?
Shocking, right? And Clark says he's plenty big enough. The issue is about, mentioned the first thing, he's got to work on his eyes and explaining that that means that Chop has a habit of immediately looking into the offensive backfield as opposed to the dude who's lining up straight ahead from him, which leads to some problems right off the snap. So that's one thing that stood out to me. Everybody loves Jacob Rodriguez. Everybody loves Chris Johnson. Yes, Ryan Downer, the new DB coach, pass game coordinator. Those titles always mess me up. I believe that's his title. About Michael Taft and what he liked about him, and he mentioned the intelligence But then he threw out what I kind of mentioned before. Hold off a little bit. He's a rookie. Playing safety on defense as a rookie is a little bit like playing quarterback on offense for a rookie. There's a lot of stuff to absorb. So those who have penciled in Michael Taft in the starting lineup, and I know there are some out there among viewers, perhaps among media members, simmer down. Go ahead.
I don't hear Dallas talking about how it's too tough for Caleb Downs. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
There's a reason one guy's the 11th overall pick and the other guy's is a fifth round pick. And by the way, again, before I cede the floor to Omar. Again, it came up that the coaches keep talking about he's a great person. And Joe Barry talking about Jacob Rodriguez, he's a great person, he's a great man, he's a great husband. And I'm like, that's wonderful, but what the hell does that have to do with
that? Yeah, is he a great player?
Thank you. Exactly. I'd rather have great athlete than
horrible human being, huh?
Well, it'd be nice to have both, but if it's one or the other, I don't know.
Who is this you're referring to, though, where the coach said he's the great person?
Jacob Rodriguez. All of them are wonderful human beings.
Yeah. Wow. What about you, Omar? What observations did caught your eye speaking to the coaches?
You know, let's start with the wide receiver unit, because I was talking to the wide receiver coach, Poupard. What's his name again?
Like Tolbert. That was yesterday, though.
We're sharing what we learned in the last 2 days. He was talking about the receivers, and I asked him who steps up and leads this unit, because it's like the blind leading the blind, and it is truly what it is. It's like a room full of blind people leading each other. And he mentioned Terrence Marshall Jr., who I don't think anybody in the Dolphins fan base contingent is even talking about. He is a former LSU receiver, 23 touchdowns in his final two seasons, former second round pick. He used to be the third wheel on the Joe Barrow off dynamic offense at LSU. This guy was out there catching touchdowns with Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase. And he's here. He's going to add a big physical split end presence to the team, 6'2", 200 pounds. He's a 5'50" veteran. While things haven't exactly panned out for him in the NFL, he's going to have plenty of opportunity, because this is a clear runway for anybody who wants to be a starter at just about any position outside of quarterback and tailback. I found that interesting. The whole Jonas Savanaya moving to the right side back again, getting comfort, he's familiar with, he's comfortable with it. Didn't we say that last year when we were grilling these coaches to death about how can we get Jonah to improve? And they never wanted to abandon this whole plan for him to be a left tackle, even though he looked all season like he was a fish out of water. Maybe if you moved him to the right side, he might have developed a little bit of confidence about what he was doing, because he was familiar with it. I forget who says it. It's like somebody in the past said, what's it like going from right guard to left guard? And he was like, it's like wiping your butt with your left hand if you're right-handed. I mean, Allen wipes his butt with his left hand because he's a lefty. But how do I know this?
Swiping habits here.
One thing that I did notice today, and I just picked up on it, we say the Dolphins linebackers are either described as inside linebackers or they're edges. There are no defensive ends. There are no outside linebackers. There is no weak side linebacker, even though there is some Sam linebackers. And there's one player here who's described as an edge who is 6'3", 226 pounds. And keep in mind, he is projected to be a starter on this team. Do you know the name of that individual?
Uche? Who?
Josh Uche. I didn't know he was 226 pounds. That's a little light in the britches.
But yeah, what you just said is a revelation because that just spells small on the outside. Linebacker and quasi edge.
But here's the thing, though. If because now they're operating with Austin Clark coaching all the defensive linemen. So it's basically, yeah, they're not listing anybody anymore as like outside, or they don't have an outside linebacker's coach. So it's you're either a linebacker or you're a defensive lineman. So technically, your edge are kind of defensive ends. Another quick point here about Jonah, and I mentioned this to you in the media room, Omar, and to some of the other guys, is Bobby Slowick, and talking about Caden Proctor and starting him off at left guard, said that it was important to them to keep him on the left side because for a rookie, it helps to be able to stay on the same spot. And it immediately says, oh, then why the hell wouldn't you do that with Jonah last year? And remember, they moved Jonah from right to left because they wanted to keep James Daniels on the right side, even though James Daniels, even though he had played right guard for the Steelers, earlier in his career had played the left side. So you got a seven-year veteran, however many years he played, with prior experience on the left side, but you're going to move Jonah to the left side. And how well did that work out?
He wasn't even available.
Not only that, but when you lost James Daniels, you didn't even consider moving him back to the right side. And when he was struggling, we asked you, please, we begged you, please move him back to the right side because it's clearly not working on the left side. Let's give this kid a chance to be successful. And lo and behold, he had the worst NFL season for a guard, probably in Dolphins history. And even worse than Leon Eichenberg, even worse than Liam Eichenberg. And now he's got to dig his way out of that. So it'll be interesting to see how that gets done.
Well, I think it's important for every – go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, and my big question, again, is who's the person most responsible for the decision to move Jonah to the left side and to keep him? Was it Mike McDaniel? Was it Frank Smith? Was it Butch Barry?
It had to be Butch Barry from this standpoint because – Butch was very adamant he wasn't moving back. And I think Mike is not a micromanager because Mike believes in being – these guys are technicians at what they do. So Mike didn't just wake up one morning and say, Jonah's a left guard. That was Butch Barry's master plan. But obviously it didn't pan out for everybody. Now – I do think the Caden Proctor left side, I think it has more to do with the fact that he's going to serve as the backup left tackle because there is no other backup left tackle on the roster.
Charlie Heck.
Huh?
Charlie Heck.
Huh?
Who?
Who?
Who the heck are you talking about? Charlie Heck was the backup swing tackle for the Buccaneers last year, who they signed in free agency to replace Larry Borum, who I believe, unless I'm mistaken, and I shall look it up, started at left tackle last year for the Buccaneers one or two games when Tristan Wirfs was injured.
I would be shocked if he even makes the 53-man roster.
Whoa, okay.
I haven't seen him, don't know what he looks like, but I'm sorry. The backup left tackle is Caden Proctor.
Alan, you're talented to even know his name.
Yeah, Charlie you're Heck. Talented, I'm sorry. Seven-year veteran. How many starts has Charlie Heck made in his NFL career?
Oh, you'd be surprised. He started six games for the Bucs last season. In his career, he has started. And of course, you disappear on me. Come on now. In his career, he has started 29 games.
29 games in 7 years.
Sorry?
29 games in 7 years.
That's four per season.
Liam Eichenberg started 50 something, 52 games.
Bringing Liam Mike and leave the poor man alone. Holy moly.
I'm just saying, Liam Eichenberg is a standard for mediocre offensive line play.
Mediocre? Yes. That's a compliment.
But here's the thing, Omar, is you and I both like Jesse Davis and both feel that he got given undue crap.
Yes, he did.
By Dolphin fans, and in part because he played through injuries and all that. Can we not say the same about Liam Eichenberg, who was not a great player, but played injury to what?
Wasn't he the one who gave up a critical block that hurt Tua?
Yes, that is correct.
That's why. That's why he got unfair due.
No. What critical block did he give out?
I think he's responsible for the AJ Epenesa.
Austin Jackson or Jesse Davis. Sorry.
Jesse Davis, you're right.
I thought we were talking about Jesse Davis, not Liam Mike Burke. Liam Mike Burke never got any better.
Yeah, Davis.
Yeah, Jesse Davis. Okay. Yes, I understood where he was going with that.
Yeah.
I'm a Jesse Davis defender, Jesse Davis fan card member. You can't name me a former Dolphins practice squad player who ended up being a multi-year starter for this franchise. So, and Jesse Davis was playing with a bum elbow and being asked to play left tackle when things went south for him. And went from a practice squad player to a team captain. Name me the last Dolphin to do that. And Alan Pappard would be the one person who I think could do it.
Why are you putting this on me? I can't remember.
I think Jeremiah Bell might have been a practice squad member at some point.
No, I don't believe so. He was a 6th-round pick, and then he made the team right as a rookie. But my point is that Liam also played through some injuries, and while he wasn't great, it's like I see this meme on Twitter of like Caden Proctor wearing 74, looking up in the 74 picture image of Liam Eikenberg, and like, please, Caden, deliver us from the curse of 74.
Oh, wait a minute. I need to see this meme because the famous 74 to me is I would like to see that meme with not only Jesse Davis, but also Liam Eikenberg, who is also 74. Yeah. When he picked 74, I was just like,
we might need to petition him to change his jersey number.
Yeah, that was your college jersey number, but yeah.
Jesse was 77, though, Omar. Jesse was 77. He wasn't
77. Jesse was 77? Okay. Mm. Oh, so they're mocking Liam Eikenberg.
Yes, they're mocking Liam Eikenberg. And it's like, let it go already. Jesus.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to know that when we talk about why didn't they make these decisions last year, that was the old incompetent regime, okay? Now we have one of the best regimes in the NFL in the building.
You want to give him time to prove that?
How about they let him coach a game? Because we don't even know if this guy can coach.
One of the best.
Or his staff. I've been here too long to give people undeserved credit. Like,
I'm not worried about Jeff Hafley right now.
Longer than me.
I'm not worried about Jeff Hafley right now. He on the clock. It's coming for him. But John Eric Sullivan been cooking. He been cooking.
You don't know that.
I know it, Alan. You trying to tell me what I know? I know. Y'all just ain't learned yet. Okay, John Eric Sullivan is cooking. Let us know in the comment section, everybody. How do you feel about John Eric Sullivan so far? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being he gonna win GM of the year, 1 being he's been garbage. Put it in the comment section.
He's a Waffle House short order cook. That's what he is.
Wow. See, who hurt you, Omar?
I enjoy Waffle House. I'm just saying.
Oh my
I have
gosh.
A dream the one day I am a Waffle House short order cook. I would do it. You know how fast you gotta work to pull out a Waffle House meal? You make that order, that meal is on your plate in 5 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes and 40 seconds. You be ready.
Gotta be tasty though, but you just pound that butter in there and it won't.
Pound that grease, pound that butter, spray that oil.
People sleep on Waffle House, but that's a go-to. Well, let's keep it going, man. No HN, no problem. What's up with that, Omar?
Show me the money.
So he's not even in the building? Everybody else is, right?
Hell no. But hell no. HN, everybody else is because everybody else has got to prove something and wants a job. Think about it. How many jobs are open right now for this Dolphins team? I think there are two that aren't. Malik Willis and Devon Achane.
In left tackle, Patrick Paul.
I don't know, because the way they're talking about Caden Proctor, it sounds like I agree with you. This shouldn't even be debated and discussed.
No.
But they're over here, Caden Proctor's going to be a left side player. So he going to play guard forever? Is that what he's going to do?
For this year, he will.
Yeah, but they interviews, it's almost as if you know that he's going to be a great player in his league.
I have not heard one single praise from any of these coaches about Patrick Paul, and it's a little bit bothersome to me. A little disturbing.
Has anybody Time out. Has anybody been asked about Patrick Paul?
This offensive line coach had plenty of opportunity to throw out a little praise for Patrick Paul.
That's not what I asked. Has he been asked about was he asked about Patrick Paul?
So you're saying that it's our job, our responsibility that we haven't asked John Eric Sullivan or Jeff Hafley. They volunteer just about anybody's name.
How often do they volunteer, or how often do they say that in response to a question?
Today I heard Aaron Brewer's name. Yeah, no, yesterday I heard Aaron Brewer's name, but I was listening. Correct. And I love Aaron. Yes. I think he's a good player. I hope he gets his money. As you know, Poupard, I want everybody to get their money.
I'm player agent. Sorry.
So do we possibly have a Patrick Paul problem? What I mean by that, not a problem as in a bad thing, but that's not like after this year, he's not looking to get paid. And to me, he's that player that's not elite, but he does his job consistently on a regular basis, and he can get top dollar even though he may not be a top guy. And durability plays into that as well.
I'm sorry. They were mowing people down in the run game, and he was a contributing factor to that.
But do you see him as a top five left tackle in the NFL?
I'd have to top 10. Definitely top 10. I'd have to like count it up for top five. I mean, is he a $100 million player? Yes. He's no doubt in my mind $100 million.
What is no?
If he puts together one more season like he did last year, he's a $100 million player.
This is the problem, what I'm talking about. He's that caliber player that maybe he's not worth $100 million, but he's going to get $100 million. Maybe he's not elite, but he's really good. And we don't know what the new regime values. How do they value that type of stuff? Are they comfortable letting that type of stuff walk, or do they become hostage to a cap number or a salary?
I have not heard a single thing about Patrick Paul all season. Poupard, you?
No, he has mentioned him at one point. Okay, I'm looking at a list here. Laramie Tunsil, Tristan Wirfs, Trent Williams, Charles Cross, Jordan Mailata, Rashawn Slater, Al Jackson from the Rams.
A lot of injured players on that list.
Christian Darrisaw, Andrew Thomas, Penei Sewell, who's going to be playing left tackle, Garrett Bowles, Ronnie Stanley, Deion Dawkins. I think those we can comfortably say. So that's 13 right there. So let's say he's middle of the pack.
And he can get top five money.
Young, yeah. Talented, yeah.
So you're 100 mil?
I mean, he can get it, Alan. It's just a matter of if this regime is willing to pay it.
Okay.
Correct. Maybe why they drafted Caden Proctor. So if Patrick Paul becomes unreasonable next offseason, they'll be like, okay.
I don't have a problem with it from this standpoint. Patrick Paul is going to have to produce to get the payday.
Correct.
And if we took this stance with Tua Tagovailoa, and yes, I said it, then we wouldn't have been in this position that we were, where he basically was like, the market is the market, pay me. And you were forced to because you didn't have any options. At least the Dolphins. That's the one thing I do like about the Caden Proctor selection. They now give themselves an option.
Bingo.
That's true. Yes. A lot of the decisions they make give themselves options. You know how I look at Patrick Paul? He's the Robert Hunt of left tackles. Never had an issue. Is a really good player. Not elite, again, but available as well and does his job. No complaints, but no rave.
But I would say right now, Patrick Paul still needs to raise his game to attain a level that Robert Hunt attained in Miami before he
True.
He's not at that level yet.
I think he has to do it consistently. We've only seen one season. If he plays at the level he played last year, not even improving one inch, I think that's still pretty damn good.
He needs to improve. And again, take this for what it's worth. There's a dude at ESPN who puts out fantasy analysis projections for the entire season, and he put a grade on every single solitary offensive lineman in the NFL from 1 to 10, and Patrick Paul, per his rating, was the 28th left tackle. See, I went much nicer than that. I had him 14th. Gave him a grade of 4.9.
Hold on, wait. So he's saying that 28th left tackle. So he's saying that only he's only better than four people in the NFL.
It is correct.
Starters.
Who is this person?
His name is Mike Clay.
I've never heard of him.
ESPN dude.
Oh, just because you're ESPN, though, that means you're good.
It's your job. No. I'm just saying it's one guy, and I'm saying that at the very least, this notion that unequivocally Patrick Paul's a complete stud at left tackle, I think maybe a little bit stretching it.
It's players like Patrick Paul that go they're least evaluated because their name isn't called often. It's not enough bad play to have any concern, but there's stuff on film that might show up and be like, ugh. But I don't know. I wouldn't say 28th. That's kind of
I think that's crazy also, but I don't think he's top 10 either.
But I think that's a great opportunity for y'all next time y'all see the coaches to talk about him and see how they feel about him, because that can be very intriguing.
What do you think they're going to say?
Oh, we love him. Just like we're getting to the Chop Robinson. Oh, it was a Chop Robinson love fest today.
Well, I know y'all know how to do your job, but you're obviously going to say, hey, what are some of the things you notice Patrick Paul can work on?
Of course we're going to say that. That is exactly what I asked Austin Clark about Chop Robinson. Those are the questions we always
And he said, better high discipline.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to go back there because that kind of rocked me. Are you buying that?
Hell no.
I buy that to a certain degree. Among the issues, I think that's not the only issue. I think the issue is there's some limits in terms of playing strength that are going to be problematic for Chop Robinson throughout his career.
And have been problematic. I say this, and I've said this from the time he was drafted. Why do we not have a bench press for Chop Robinson? And that's because he was a fringe first-round player, and if they learned he was strength deficient, he would have not been a first-round player. So why do you not do specific drills to hide things? And I think that he is strength deficient. There's nothing about his play that has shown me that he is not either practice or games. Yes, you have clips of him setting the edge, but you also have clips of him getting rocked on the edge and teams running outside of him or offensive tackles or tight ends moving him to the second level. And I'm not going to sit here and say that means he's trash or that means he's not good or that means he shouldn't be a starter. But there's a reason a lot of coaches have stopped Chop Robinson from starting NFL games. And the runway was cleared last year when Jalen Phillips got traded away and he still didn't start. There's a reason why.
I kind of feel like some things are obvious and there's certain things that if you can't do now, it's hard to improve. Especially like, you know, like the type of strength that a defensive end or edge needs to set the edge is different from like Caleb Douglas needing to gain strength to get off the block, you know.
I will say this about Cam Wake. Very early in Cam Wake's career, he was not the greatest of edge setters. And then it got to the point where he worked at it to the point where he was one of the top rated edge setters in the league. Not to say that I live off Pro Football Focus rankings, because they're not the gospel to me. But when he got his first contract extension, he was, like, I believe, one of the top three edge-setting players in the NFL.
Starting out, wouldn't you still put his start out much better than Chop's right now?
Absolutely.
No question. The floor was higher for him, Cam Wake, when he came out. I mean, he wouldn't get bullied.
Whoa, he also had like 2 years or two, 3 years in the CFL, too. I mean, there was a difference.
College.
That's a passing league.
That's the SEC.
It was what?
It's a passing league.
It's college football, man. It's SEC.
He's also playing against grown men.
SEC. Whereas
Chop Robinson was a baby when
people
he played.
People in the SEC make more than the CFL. Let's just put it. I'm with TD on this
one. Playing the SEC, number one. Number two.
You think an SEC team can keep can beat the CFL teams?
Probably, but it also depends on the rules. If they're using CFL rules, different game.
Yeah, well, different
he's always defending Canada. That's what do you expect? Look at that hat. Look at that hat.
And you always do this. So yeah, that's why.
hey, watch out, Alan. Watch out. Oh man. All right, but let's get back because I know we got off a little bit. HN, no problem. You know, I'm one of those individuals. I have a problem with it. Okay. I am just like you. I'm actually like you, Omar. Get your money by all means necessary from a personal standpoint. But from a team standpoint, this team, given its recent history and you, Devin HN, being a part of it, you know how bad leadership has to show up every step of the way. Why not be in there having a presence, you know, given good faith that a deal is going to get done? You ain't got to do anything.
Good faith in who? I don't have no good faith. You know, here's one thing I want to say, and I'm probably going to eventually write this. This organization has a piss poor, horrendous reputation when it comes to compensating tailbacks or how they treat tailbacks. And this goes back to Ronnie Brown, Reggie Bush.
90% of all organizations?
Reggie Bush.
Where they kept them off the field to prevent them from achieving bonuses, then used them up and discarded them. Lamar Miller weren't even competitive when he was a 2-time 1,000-yard rusher for the team. Had to go.
How'd that work out for him in Houston, though?
He was a 1,000-yard rusher. He got his money.
Okay. How did he do in Houston? Were the Dolphins wrong to let him go and not pay him?
You could say the same thing about Robert Hunt. Were the Dolphins wrong to let him go and not pay him? Same thing about Christian Wilkins.
Hey, that was steep, though. Robert Hunt money was steep.
Yes, it is. But Robert Hunt's one of the best guards in the NFL right now. You had him in your backyard, and now you got a problem with guard. Just saying. You make your choices. You got
20 mil a year.
Huh?
20 mil a year.
Yeah, I agree with you. 20 mil a year is a little steep, and I love Rob. But, you know, Rob, I mean, do you want one of the best guards in the NFL, or do you not? Last I checked, the Carolina Panthers were a playoff team, I think.
Yeah, were they 8-9?
They just missed. I think
they won the division. They won the division last year.
Oh, yeah, they had just the last week of the season, they won the division.
Because Atlanta beat
– Hey, they beat the Miami Dolphins, that's what I'm saying, without Robert Hunt.
That was because of – never mind. We're doing good.
They shortly scored a touchdown that gave them the lead, and then the defense gave it up.
Who scored that touchdown?
Jalen Waddle. When Tua, you know, threw the ball deep to him, though it was probably one of the last deep throws that Tua successfully achieved. Remember that deep throw touchdown?
I don't remember none of them.
And then the defense did a ole. We shall allow you to score.
And then the offense had the ball again to take a chance to take the lead and had a putrid 3-and-out. And then the defense gave a first down on a DPI. Was it Jack Jones? Like a horrible DPI on third down to allow Carolina.
I don't remember that.
No. And by the way, I take it back. I was wrong. Lamar Miller had a 1,000-yard season with Houston, but to me, he was still not an impact running back we needed to get.
Tell me when this organization has done right by a tailback. You could even go back to Ricky Williams. When Ricky Williams, they made him come and serve made him come back to play because we wanted our money.
I do you one better then.
Are you gonna blame him for that?
Not really.
The team before the day, night before training camp.
We're talking about years later. They were like, give us our money or come back to work. Okay, was like, I guess I'll come back to work.
What's too much though? Like, and let's talk fake money because the guarantee gets a little, you know, depends on what they want to offer. But what's
I'm not talking.
Omar is not talking anything.
I refuse.
Yeah, but
I refuse. It's not gonna happen.
Okay, well, you saw Breece Hall get almost $30 million guaranteed, which is 66% of his contract. Okay, which is crazy. If we want to talk real money, So if you want to talk real money, then what's too much where you like buy?
I'm at 33. I'm at 11 a year for the first 3 years.
And you think this is a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal?
I mean, you talking fake money or real money?
No, I'm saying the contract, the guarantee.
Are you talking fake money or real money? It's real in real money. If I'm the agent, I already know that I'm going to get 20. If I play out my what I have now and I get tagged next year, I'm at 20. So as from an agent standpoint, my goal is to get a third year out of this. And if I'm already getting 20, which is 10 per year, my goal is to actually get a little bit more than 10 per year and get an extra year. So that's why my number is 33. I'm getting
so if he wants 40 million guaranteed.
No, not 40 million guaranteed. I would not 40 million guaranteed, he'd already be signed.
Because like, I think what he's given his age, he's probably looking for a 4-year, $80 million contract with about 40 to 45 million guaranteed.
4-year contract. No, he's never getting $40 million guaranteed. There's nobody getting $40 million guaranteed.
Except Jeremiah Love.
Yes. I was about to say Jeremiah Love. What's he getting? What's he getting guaranteed? Huh?
53 guaranteed.
Jesus Lord. That's not even including the 5th-year option?
Correct. That's what happens when you pick a running back at number 3 overall, which was a reason some folks were suggesting nobody's picking him that high because of that. That kind of
guy. Wow, they really would. The Arizona Cardinals, you got to question a lot of their decisions that they're making over there.
There's a reason they're always kind of struggling, usually.
Yeah, that's just horrible.
Here's the other thing, too, the factor that we have to keep mentioning. The Dolphins have what, 1.8 million of cap space? They're getting the Bradley Chubb money, but that's June 2nd. They can't do anything right now. For all we know, is it not possible that there's a wink-wink agreement with HN?
He'd be in camp if there was a wink-wink agreement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Excellent point.
wink-wink, I'd be in camp. I'd be in camp. I'd be there.
Erase. But the other issue is the other possibility, which now makes all the sense in the world, and the other one was stupid. I have no idea why I would say that. Okay. Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, that HN's going to – he's going to maybe wait for what happens to them, and he's going to want money closer to that than just slightly above.
So HN would be the one waiting to see what they do.
Hell no.
Unless he gets what he wants, but it absolutely behooves him to wait on Gibbs and Robinson. Because
I want my money first, because that means I actually have my, yeah, I could get in camp, I could work. No way he's
going. You don't think Tua got more because he waited for Goff and then played the whole the market is the market game?
I think Tua got more because he was about to hold up training camp by not participating and I think that's why they caved.
But also he got more than he would have gotten had he signed before Goff. Because this whole thing was like, make me, I'm the next to sign.
Love signed like the next day. Love, he signed before Love. They were the same agency. So they were all negotiating together. So, you know, that's how the system works. Love and Tua actually share the same agency. So don't act like one wasn't using the other to negotiate their contract. And I think they signed a deal a day apart from each other. It's to me, the Etienne deal with New Orleans is going to be my benchmark. I don't even like Breece Hall's deal because Breece Hall's deal doesn't have the same level of years. Breece Hall's deal already has a franchise tag in it. So that's $15 million that's already committed. So that means all they did was tack on an extra year for $14 million in guaranteed money. If I'm HN, I want 3 years guaranteed because there's a huge difference. Oh, yeah. I want
Omar, that's 45 plus million dollars.
No, guaranteed. No. You're paying him based on fake money and that fake money.
Oh, average. You're talking about the remaining years that's on the current contract.
Yeah.
Like, I only
work off guaranteed money because when you look at the majority of contracts, yeah, Poupard's gonna roll his eye. The only time that you see a player not go longer than their guaranteed money is when the contract absolutely unequivocally benefits the team, like Aaron Brewer and Jordan Brooks, who are both making less than $8 million. Or I think Jordan's making like 8.9. That's the only time it really benefits you. Like those guys should be making $3-4 million more than what they're making, which is why they're trying to, you know, pressure the organization to give them a new contract. They're taking it the right way by doing the right things and showing up, but they're also making $7-9 million, whereas Achane is just making $5 million. So, And Achane plays a position where there is no certainty that he is going to have a long, healthy career, which is why it benefits him to sign a contract that gets him the 3 years guaranteed, even if it's less than what the market value is. 3 years at $11 million a year, give me $33 million in guaranteed money, and you can make whatever fake money you want to make on the back end, and you could boost the average however you'd like. Give me the guaranteed money.
I think he's finna get a big payday, man.
Why would it benefit the office to sign him, though?
No, I agree. That's the crazy part. I think he might set the market, Omar.
Travis Etienne, 4 years, $47 million, $28 million guaranteed.
$28
million. Guaranteed salary expires after 2027. He's got $10 million guaranteed salary next year, nothing 2028 or 2029.
Isn't he 2 years in already, though?
No, he just got a new deal this off season. So he
and so
he's basically 2 years, $28 million. That's 14 per. So 14.5 per. And I think Achane probably thinks he's about a $14.5 million per year deal. But you got to add that to the five he's already on the books for. Remember, Etienne was a free agent. So no matter what, that five that's there is already there. Nothing's gonna change with that one. Only thing that's going to change that is the signing bonus. That signing bonus is going to be, you know, added to that. But I'm already counting that five.
Problem is also Achane's a, to me, a pretty clearly better player than Travis Etienne.
Man, hey, well, something's going to get done probably right after June 1st when that money comes in. Let's see how they allocate it, because he's not the only one that has to get paid. We got two other people that's looking side eye like,
hey. You don't have to pay nobody, to be honest with you.
You technically don't, unless you're willing to go through training camp with some issues.
Achane got to eventually show up for the regular season. It's not like trying to win.
Time will tell. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that this stream is also being brought to you by Prize Picks. All right. Use code HMA. Play $5 to get $50 instantly in lineups. Okay. Listen, take advantage of the opportunity with Prize Picks, available in so many different states: Florida, Texas, California, even New York. Make sure you check it out. I got a 4-pick power play for tonight. $15 will win me $67.50. I got Cade Cunningham, 19.5. Over Donovan Mitchell, who's been balling, 27.5 going over in a critical game. James Harden been putting a little bit of work in lately, 14.5. I got the over, and Tobias Harris another over with 18.5. Y'all wish me luck, but make sure you play responsibly. Okay, supporting your sponsors is supporting the channel. We thank everybody who rocks with us and Prize Picks. All right, let's get back into it, because again, we got so much to discuss here. Oh, well, if I can get this back. All right, here we go. We talked about Chop Robinson chopping it up. I don't want to prolong the conversation, because we kind of said a lot of what needed to be said. But your level of confidence, if y'all don't mind answering this, on a scale of 1 to 10, Chop Robinson being a good fit in this defense moving forward, what's your level of confidence? Start with Allen. Is this an on the spot question?
Let's judge it. Let's judge it based on Allen's face. Level of confidence probably was a 3.
Four? I read 4.5 out of 3. Okay. What about you, Omar? What about you? Your level of confidence? Oh man, I ain't seen that look since Tua threw a pick, man. Go ahead.
Oh, stop, man. That was the face I showed in Pittsburgh. It was like, oh, damn, like
that ain't it.
Man. I'm about it a 3, but here's the thing. They don't have any other options.
Somebody emerges.
Yeah. Okay, David Ojobu. It's not going to be one of the rookies, because I'm sorry. Rookies,
Why not my Vinnie Jones lookalike, Mason Reiger? You'll see that on Twitter that I put. He looks just like, if you've seen the movie Snatch, Bullet Tooth Tony.
He had curly hair when I saw him training for the combine. I don't know why he cut it off. He had like, and better look for him. So Mason, grow your hair back, sir.
Classic tips.
Yeah, like grow your hair back, or at least get a fade to, you know, do something. Get a mohawk.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow one out. See what I can do.
I'm a mohawk kind of guy. Like, you know, not that. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give Chop a 5.5. I'm gonna be a little optimistic on him because I think we need to stop worrying about his strength. Because
you ever seen Chop in person?
Huh?
You ever seen Chop in person?
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely. Yeah, he's small. Yeah, like who was it? It was when I went to training camp last year. I saw. Was it last year? No, it was the year before. No, who was it last year? We had a defensive lineman that was massive.
Oh, Jalen Phillips.
And I just remember seeing Chop next to whoever it was that I saw, Jalen and I was Phillips. Just like, wow. Yeah, that's different. You look like a bigger middle linebacker. You know, you're not.
That is correct.
But I'm giving him a 5.5. Win with what you know. You just got to be relentless. Use your speed. Don't give up on plays. Be the ultimate hustler. You know, when the play get in the way, go chase it down. Win in every way you can, because this setting the edge notion, you can disrupt the edge, but setting it, I just don't see that in his future. And that's just me.
That means you got to find somebody to play on the early downs. I don't see anybody right now.
Yeah, but are we trying to put Chop out there on the early downs anyway?
Yeah, right now, he looks like the only person who could play the early downs.
Man, we got
you trying to put Josh Uche on early downs?
Max Llewellyn.
Okay.
Hey, man, Zach Sealer better get kicked out, man. That we've been paying you the money for something, because you shouldn't be here, in my opinion. But you here. They need to push him on the outside, especially since our next topic, growth for the DTs. We know we're not talking about Zach, okay? So who needs to grow, and how can they grow? We'll start with Omar.
I think Kenneth Grant has to do a better job of getting himself in South Florida conditioning. Jordan Phillips is clearly got the best body of all the defensive tackles. He's a guy who there's little fat to him. He's mostly muscle, but he needs to become a better technician. And then you guys know how I feel about Zeke Biggers. I want that anger and drive and fiercefulness to basically benefit him.
That's Zeke Biggers on the phone.
Going. I know, right? Where he said that. So
I'll go ahead while Omar's checking out breaking news here.
Go ahead, Alan.
Breaking news, Thanksgiving first game, Chicago at Detroit.
They need to announce them Dolphin games, but go ahead, Alan.
Not one announcement.
It's coming.
It's coming tomorrow night when the schedule is being released at 8 p.m., but no Mexico City game. Yeah, clearly the guy who needs to step up among the DTs is Kenneth Grant, because that's your first-round pick in 2025. Some flashes as a rookie last year, but we need to see more, and the Dolphins need to see more. I think Jordan Phillips, feel pretty confident that what you're going to get. To me, he's always going to be a solid contributor, always maybe a B player. I don't know that the ceiling is that much higher than that, but I think you can always count on him being a solid player. Kenneth Grant can go from one extreme to another, and Zeke Biggers has intriguing potential, even though I don't think he's the second coming of Richard Seymour, whoever else is a Pro Football Hall of Fame defensive lineman like this guy does.
Dude, who's your best two DTs right now?
The best two?
Mm-hmm.
The two I would most trust would be Sealer and Phillips. The two who can do the most things would be Sealer and Kenneth Grant.
You trust Kenneth Grant over Jordan Phillips?
I just said the most dependable right now would be Sealer Phillips. The ones that, that could probably elevate their games the most would be Sealer and Grant.
Do you see a world where they try? I know this is left field. This is unorthodox. But they try to be creative given the circumstance and maybe even put a Kenneth Grant on the edge on first downs?
Not edge, no. I think if anybody goes to the edge, it would be Sealer. Sealer is Florida Attorney General issues investigative subpoena to NFL over Rooney Rule. That is...
Yeah, that's a few weeks old. They sued
That's new. 3 hours new.
No, that's the next step of it. They sued the NFL for the Rooney Rule. Florida is. They suing the NFL.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, well, they're gonna win. Say that. But anyway, schedule projections. Do we have any before we get to the super chats on the schedule projections? Anything you're hearing? Anything you think is gonna go down?
I want at least 4 1 p.m. games in September and November. I want a West Coast trip put together, whether it be San Fran and Denver or San Fran and Vegas, so that the Dolphins don't have to return to the East Coast. And my prayers, I pray this Buffalo on the road in September, please.
Why?
Because I don't like to travel there. Especially when it's snowing.
Because you know we got a quarterback who can handle it now, right?
Sure. Green Bay. Also, I'd like to have Green Bay and not in snow. Sorry.
See, and I don't care about Omar's travel plans. And here's what I would tell you, and I wrote this on MiamiDolphinsNSI.com. I am hoping for cold weather games in the snow. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we have a new regime that's building the roster a different way and give us some early exposure as to what that might look like, as opposed to the track meet that didn't really travel in the snow very well in the past. I think the Dolphins open at home. They're going to be on the road in week 2 because of the Bruno Mars concert. It's not impossible the NFL gives them back-to-back away games. But, this is a nugget I threw out in the story. Did you guys know that the last 4 Dolphin head coaches, their first game was against a team that made the playoffs the previous year?
Their first game was a team that made the playoffs the previous year.
Including Brian Flores in 2019, who played the Ravens, who had made the playoffs in 2018, and administered the Dolphins a 59-10 smackdown.
Wow. Well, Omar, we will see you on Friday, brother. You have yourself a nice evening.
Right. Appreciate it, gentlemen. All right.
All right. Well, you got these 2 handsome faces left, at least one of us. I'll give it to you. But, man, we got some super chats we want to get into. For those who drop super chats, we appreciate your love and support of Dolphins Collective, helping us do bigger and better things every chance we get. Also, if you are a member, salute to you. We thank you for your dedicated support. If you want to become a member, hit that join button. And if you're already a member, you can bless others by gifting memberships as well. Let's get into it. Marcellus Temple said, "Hey guys, hey Poop, ask me if I can set the edge without pads and in May of the NFL season."
Marcellus is funny. Can you do it, Marcellus?
I think maybe we all can. All right, Javier said, watch NFL top 10. One of the categories was devastating losses. The Dolphins game for you guys is the most devastating that stings till this day. Man, I got to check that out. Top 10s, huh?
Oh, I'll answer this. And it's not, again, I'm a Dolphin journalist, not a Dolphins fan. I can tell you the one that, to me, if I'm a Dolphin fan, would be the most bothersome is 1994 playoff game at San Diego when they were up 21-6 at halftime, wound up losing 22-21. Pete Stojanovic missed the last second field goal attempt after 2 long Dan Marino passes when they were already in field goal range that went incomplete and should have just played for, I don't know, another 5-yard gain, 6-yard gain to make it less than 48 yards. They didn't. They went for shots downfield. Field goal missed. San Diego, which was not a great team, went on the road the following week, beat Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game, and then got smoked by the 49ers in the Super Bowl in Miami. So that's the one where the Dolphins really, really let it slip away.
We could have went to the AFC Championship at least, but blew it. Wow. Man, oh, man. My biggest fear from Matt Tennell is the Dolphins will pass on a top QB in 27 and Malik Willis will be mid and we will continue to be stuck in cycle of mediocrity. Nah, I think they draft the quarterback if he's mid this year. I think they definitely draft a quarterback. He has to be exceptional this year, people, for them to not draft the quarterback. He has to be exceptional. And even then, they might draft the quarterback, to be quite honest with you. Jonah was bad, but not bad enough to get a nickname from Omar Eichenberg. Express choo-choo.
The Eichenberg Express.
Wow. And JS on the left side as a rookie was trash. JS.
Jonas Savainaya.
Jonas Savainaya. Do you think they did that, though, to sandwich him between their two better linemen?
When training camp started last year, Patrick Paul was not one of their two best linemen. Even though they had reason to hope he would be, Austin Jackson was a lot more proven commodity on the right side.
So, was Austin Jackson available at the?
Yeah, at
new training. He was healthy.
Yeah, he got hurt during training.
Got it. Achane had a knee scrape. Is this a concern?
I have not heard of a peep about.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's news. We'll look into it.
Yep.
Who out of you three has the best shot at the NFL? You mean playing in the NFL? Hey, man, I could be a punter.
I'm past my prime.
Oh, man. Hot take. Max Llewellyn outplays Chop. Do you see that potential? Kelly. I don't know about that. I think Chop will have a better season. Chop gets a high rate of pressures, though. He does get a high rate of pressures. It's just a matter of finishing. Kelly, we appreciate the love and support with the big dono. Salute to you. Said Cam Wake had an opportunity and grabbed it. You could easily see his consistent effort, improvement, and growth without question. Humble, leader, always wanting to be the hardest worker on the field. None of these things are apparent in Chop yet. I love the yet at the end.
Okay, one thing I would tell you, I don't know that anybody ever, and Cameron Wick was everything you said, hard worker and all that. I'm not sure anybody would use the word leader to describe him, though.
I agree with that. Also, he was transactional, in my opinion. Like, this is just personal. I don't feel like he was ever like a Dolphin. Like, the one thing that stood out to me for Cam Wake, every time we re-signed him, he sat at that table and he said these exact words with that pen. He said, I guess I'm here a few more years with y'all. He said something along those lines. It was almost transactional. Like, and that always was like, for me. But, hey, great player. Did his job, and he got paid as such. Yep. All right. Angelo JJ, Omar is contrarian. Girlfriend? Who's had two? What's the GF?
Girlfriend. Okay.
Omar's contrarian girlfriend who had too many. Alan Poupar is your side-eyed uncle, and TD's the nice instigator repping fans. Doug say
Spicoli
absent again.
For the reference, you can go ahead. I'll stall so you can look it up real quickly. Spicoli's a character's name from the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Time at Ridgemont. Man, I know this, Alan.
Oh, sure you do.
I didn't know that. Oh, man. All right. Jay Biz is a new member of Dolphins Collective. Again, if you want to join the membership, go ahead and hit that join button. Salute to you, Jay Biz 44, for rocking with us on a dedicated basis. We appreciate you, man. Idle Man 12 said 2027 Dolphins are on the clock. Jeremiah Smith, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Dylan Stewart, and the Dolphins select Who you got, Alan?
Can we know, first of all, okay,
you got the number one overall pick.
Well, I was gonna say, assuming those names, and this is if assuming that Malik Willis did not have a good year, did not show enough to suggest that he could be the long-term answer, then you need to go quarterback. Can I throw in Lenora Sellers, depending on how he plays in 2027, in 2026, as a possibility? Dante Moore, maybe. Let me see how the season plays out. If you have to ask me right now, it would have to be a quarterback.
Well, if those four guys are all on the board at pick number 32, which is what we're probably going to have next year, I'll probably trade out of it. We just won a Super Bowl. Let's get Malik a few more weapons. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I don't know about y'all, but that's where I'm at with it, okay?
No. TD, since we're going to go along that line, is you trade the number 32 overall pick for three future number one picks. I mean, we're going to go a lot.
No, Alan, I want to be realistic. I want to be realistic.
TD is now – TD's freezing on me.
Am I freezing?
You are, but you're back now.
Oh, okay. JD the Great said, I agree with Alan's assessment, 100, need cold games. Yeah, man, I'm with that because this is a testing year. Let's find out what we are with a lot of stigmas, a lot of things that we couldn't do in the past. Has this regime changed that? And guess what? The beautiful part is they'll have 75% of the season to rev up to that point to get this team ready because by that time they need to be playing good football. No matter what happens early in the season, new team, young players, they should be playing some really good, solid football on the last quarter of the season. So that's what I believe, at least. All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of Dolphins Collective is in the books. We will be back on Friday, probably around 12:30, but we'll see if that changes. But we should be back, Doug, Alan, Omar, and myself. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Don't forget to make sure you check out our sponsors, Prize Pick and SeatGeek. As soon as you get that schedule, go on to SeatGeek and start booking your tickets for your games, all right? Outside of that, last thing, y'all been doing a great job with this, which is helping the channel go absolutely nuclear. Make sure you go and hype the video. When the video is over, not right now, but as soon as we end this stream, you can refresh and go back to the video, and they have a hype feature on YouTube. What hype does, it hypes it. It says, hey, man, people are hyping this because YouTube gives you a certain amount of hypes per month that you can use for free. Use your hypes on the video, and they're going to put this out in the YouTube world to all the people who are searching Miami Dolphins and players of the Dolphins to say, hey, do you know the collective exists? And then we can keep getting those messages that say, man, I didn't even know y'all had this amazing channel, this amazing platform. So that's the purpose of it. And we thank y'all because we've been on the leaderboard for over a month now with hype. So we appreciate everybody who hyped the video. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Don't forget to check out Alan Pupar. Go ahead and let them know where they can find you, Alan.
Miami Dolphins on SI.com and also on the All Dolphins podcast.
All right. And Omar Kelly with the Miami Herald. And you also have Dougley Do Wrong. Make sure you go check out his channel. Make sure you flood his comment section. Let him know that you can't wait to see him Friday. And myself, TD Fans Talk, home of the real Miami Dolphin fans. Thank y'all for the love and support. And we will see y'all on Friday. Until next time, it is Fins Up no matter what. We love y'all. Peace. We out.